This is Build a Learning Center Week, and that's the principle that we're going to focus on this week. And in particular, we're going to focus on a specific aspect of that, right? So what is the aspect? What is this session title? It's called Getting Your Continuity Offer Right. Getting your continuity offer right. You know, getting that repeat income, however you get it. You want to make sure that you are structuring it in a way that's going to maximize your income. And there are only a few ways in order to do that. So there are not lots of ways to do it, but you do have to choose one that you think is going to fit your market, that people are going to be willing to pay for. You can give monthly access. In other words, you're going to charge your customers monthly. And they're going to pay you month by month. You are going to give them access to your continuity product. You can give annual access. They're going to pay you annually. You're going to give them access to your entire continuity place. Whatever's inside of your membership, you're going to give them access to that. You can give the people who buy it one-time access. So these are going to be people that are going to pay you a little more. And you're going to give them access to everything that you have inside of there, past, present, and future. So however you cut it, right, you can give one-time access. And again, that's probably going to be high ticket. That's going to cost them a little more, but it's an avenue that you can pursue, especially if one of the things you're going to be looking to do is you're trying to increase cash flow. Maybe what you're trying to do is you're trying to make a significant investment in your business. And the only way you're going to be able to do that, you need cash. And the way you raise that cash is you open up your membership and you say, hey, I'm going to give you access to everything, past, present, and future. I'm just going to ask you for a little more money. Right? Now, you don't want to do that all the time, and I don't think you should do that for everyone. But I do think that, you know, at some point you can do that. You just want to make sure that when you price it, that you price it in a way that the people who are paying you monthly, people who are paying you annually, don't feel cheated. Now, there are things within your membership that you're going to want to consider when you do this. One way to do this is that you can say to people, join now, you can get anything in our site. So that's not going to be everything, but you can get anything that is according to your join date. And some of those things are going to be time specific. So in other words, if I join your membership in October of 2021, there are going to be some things I get. But if I wait until November, I may not get those things for October. So in other words, when I say join now, get anything I have, anything that's available to you, that basically means then that not everything is going to be available. Get anything, not everything. Some things are going to be time and date specific. Now, you are going to need some kind of plugin if you're doing this by WordPress. There are a lot of plugins that do it. I know that Wishlist Member, they do it. But let's say you don't have that. Let's say you're doing something like Thinkific or Teachable like I'm using. What you can do is you can basically say this content is only going to be available up until November, whatever. And then you can then say, and then on November, whatever, you know, you put something on your calendar, you give it to your VA, and you go to them and you say, and you make that content unavailable after a certain period. So in other words, people know that they're only going to have access to it for a specific period of time, and then you're going to make it unavailable. That's an interesting way to do it, and it's one of the things that platforms like Netflix that they do. As long as you're upfront with your customer about that, that, hey, you know what, there's a limited time content offer inside. You can only get access to it. You've got to watch this month. I think that adds an interesting element to your continuity offer. Okay, Teachable does allow you to limit access to courses in a specific period of time. I'll show you that here in a minute. Now, you can also say join anytime, get everything. And that's whether or not you're charging monthly or not. Some people do that. So in other words, if you join today, you get access to everything past, present, and future. That's one way of doing it. In some cases, some people feel like that keeps people subscribed. In other words, you keep adding things, but if somebody goes away and then they come back 3 months later, then they still get access to everything. And I think sometimes that might incentivize the wrong things, but in some cases, depending on what your market is, it may or may not incentivize the wrong things. People will join back anyway, or people will fall in and out of your membership. Now, when I say that, though, you do want to make sure you incentivize people who have been with you and stay with you, right? Now, I'm showing you one of the elements of it's teachable, and you can see that. And if you look down there at the bottom, you can see that basically what you can do with some of the courses is you can say that it's only going to be available for a limited time. In other words, when this person makes a purchase, they are only going to get access for a specific period of time. So you can do this in most WordPress plugins that are membership oriented. Now again, it does take some figuring out. You can contact any plugin that you own, find out how to limit access to specific content you're making available at a specific period of time. And as I said, you can do it this way in Teachable. Now, that brings us to another aspect of this process. You're going to have to decide on whether members need to purchase content that was available to them or that came available before their join date. So in other words, they joined in February of 2019, but you produced some things in February 2018. And what you're saying to them is that, well, hey, I can't make that available to you, but I can make it available to you at the price. Or you can just say, join now, get everything. So in other words, they join and they still get access to everything. Now, you got to make a decision about that. And I don't think any way it's going to be right or wrong. You just do have to make a decision about that. You've got to be consistent. What you have to decide is whether members need to get things that others have been subscribed to. That are subscribed that they already have. And so what it requires is some kind of archiving process in your membership. Within the plugin Wishlist Member, there's an archiving feature that allows you to section off certain content, and it goes away to people depending on their join date. So that's something that, again, you can do. You just got to be consistent about it, and you want to do it up front. And let's see, we've got a question here. Question is, are you a proponent of allowing members to download information if it is a limited time membership? That's a great question. I think that in some cases, yes. And the thing is that, if someone's going to bail on you, they're going to bail on you anyway. And there are always going to be people that are going to join. They're going to download everything. And they're going to bolt. And so when you do that, there's really not a lot you can do about that individual. You've got to kind of focus on the people that are going to be with you, even though that is an irritant and it does take away from your content. But I think that when you work to try to circumvent that, you work to try to keep those people from taking from you, and in effect, stealing from you a little bit, then you end up with all the wrong and creating the wrong incentives. You end up sending some of the wrong messages, and then you focus in a way that's going to be contrary to providing value to the people that want to be there. And so I think that, it's a case by case basis, but in most cases, I would say focus on the people that want to be there. That makes sense. Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay, yeah, okay, great. Okay, so this means that even though a person is a member, when they see content associated with they see content associated with their join date, but you want to make it available to them anyway. So still, what you can do is you can make the content visible, and then when the person clicks on that content, it goes probably to a sales page. So in other words, don't hide it. Right. And so in some cases, depending on what your membership situation is, if it disappears, then the person doesn't really know that they're missing anything. And you still typically want to have a profit opportunity if you can. And that's one of the ways in which you monetize certain things, that even if that person doesn't get them, you want to make it available to them. Okay, so one person's asking, they're ready to set up their membership site. Should they use Coach Zippy or, I'm going to look at the rest of your question here, or something else? I'll tell you what, I'm going to answer that question here at the end. That's a great question. Great question. Okay, you can do this with an in-membership purchase, as I was saying. Or you can make a coupon available. That's one of the ways. You just want to make sure that it's only visible to the people that are in your membership. Right? You can always do it with a coupon. So people go to the page. Now, what's going to happen in some cases is some people won't see the coupon. But again, just always make those options available. And again, you can always use some of the features inside of your plugins and inside of your membership to do these things. They do add an element of complexity. And when you have a membership and you have a lot of moving parts, there is room for a lot of things to go wrong. So unless you're really technical, when you start messing with these things, I would say try to keep it simple. And one of the ways which you keep it simple is you can send people to a page for the content they don't have. And you can give them a coupon to go with it. Right now, with all of these things, there's no right or wrong answer. It's what you want to do, right? It's all about preference. Again, you should reward longevity. So people who have been with you some time, find a way so that when, you know, they, you know, when they've been with you and they stay with you, find a way to make sure that they always get the best deal regardless. Now, if you're going to do an annual or some kind of lifetime access, there's some things you want to keep in mind. You need to have benefits that are going to be worth the price of an annual fee. So if you're going to say that you're going to charge people, let's say you're going to get them to pay upfront an annual, but then they get in, they only see, let's say, 2 or 3 months because that's all you put available. I don't think that that's a good way to communicate that benefit. And I don't think that that's the best way to do that. So what you really should need to do is make sure that whatever's in there, when the people that, you know, they paid you an annual fee, make sure that whatever they see is going to be worth what they paid. And that doesn't mean that you have to give them 12 months up front. It does mean, though, that they pay you, let's say, $400 up front, right? They pay you $397. And because they paid you an annual, it should be $397 worth of stuff, whatever's in there, when they walk in the doors. So however you need to do that, do that. So again, now you don't, I'm saying that doesn't mean that you'd have to have, let's say, 12 months up front. Just when they look at it, it should be clear that whatever they paid, they've got it right now when they walk in the doors. Now, obviously, they're going to get future benefit, and you're giving them future benefit by having to pay up front. But whatever that benefit is, it should be visible when they walk in the doors. A question here from David. When you add new courses, do you include it in the membership or charge them for the new course? That's also a good question. When you add new things, then that goes to the new that goes to your members. So if you're charging monthly and you add something new, you say that that's a benefit of being a member. So everybody gets the new stuff. So, you know, it's just like Netflix. Netflix adds a new movie, then everybody gets the new movie, depending on where you live in the world. Now, you may not be a Netflix subscriber or anything like that, depending on where you live in the world. But generally, what you're saying here is that when a person who's paying you monthly or they paid you annually, they join your membership, when you add new stuff, they get it. See, another question here. Okay, so the question is, when you have a higher entry fee rather than a lower entry fee, let's say you say $67 up front and then $10 a month after that, I think that can work. It really depends on whether or not you have people bail on you once they've paid. And I've seen people do that where they charge an upfront and the upfront's high and then the monthly after that is kind of cheap. But you have to test that. I tend to like memberships personally in terms of things that I pay for. I tend to like things where I know what the monthly is going to be. It's what it is today, and it's going to be the same after that. But I think that if it's something that you have experienced as a buyer and you liked it, I think that that's sort of the direction you want to go in. So if you have experienced that as a buyer, see, I have not experienced that as a buyer, and I don't know if I would like that as a buyer. And my gut feeling is I wouldn't like it as a buy. I wouldn't bite to I wouldn't bite up front, even if that monthly is going to be less after. But again, if that's what you, if you've experienced that and you like that, I would at least test it, right? I would not do it just because, you know, I don't like it. I would say I would test it and see if you get people to stay that way, right? It could be that they stay. That's a great question. Now, when it comes to a one-time payment, you should, again, now let's say that you're going to get a one-time payment for everything. You should have at least 12 months in there. So in other words, the annual, when somebody pays you annually, just make sure that the dollar amount matches what they see. If somebody pays you a one-time payment and they're going to get everything up front, then that's when I think you should probably have at least a year's worth of stuff in there, right? So you're basically, and I don't like using the term lifetime because PayPal doesn't like it. I don't think Stripe likes that term lifetime. I don't think the FTC, if you live in the United States, they don't like the term lifetime. So I would say that somebody makes a one-time payment and they're basically getting what we used to call lifetime, you should have 12 months worth of benefit in there when somebody pays you upfront one time. Some people, depending on if you've got name recognition, you can get away with that. But in general, there should be a lot of value when somebody pays you one time as opposed to making an annual payment. One thing you can do is you can give a customer the ability to upgrade their subscription. Now that's a totally different animal. I'm going to show you what that means here in a minute. And this is always going to be a function of your shopping cart. I will show you what this looks like inside of the Warrior Plus affiliate network. And if you're looking at this picture, what you see here is that we can, and this is inside of the product setup. So what we can do is we can make it so that when the customer buys this product, it cancels an existing subscription. So let's say that you have a monthly subscription, but you're going to say to someone, hey, you can pay now one time, but that's going to cancel the other subscription. You can automate that process in Warrior Plus. Now, you can probably do that inside of some other shopping carts. You want to investigate that. So, you know, check and see if, you know, you've got a shopping cart. I don't know if you can do that in something like Thrivecart. I think you can do it in some other shopping carts. You want to make sure that this is something that you can do. I know you can do it, I think, in AMember. So, again, something you want to investigate if this is going to be something you're going to do with your business model. Okay, let's move forward here. Keep marketing and notification channels separate. Try to get members into some kind of notification channel. So if you get them into a platform, you want to make sure that they're getting notifications when you add stuff. So whenever you add something, you want to make sure that people are going to see that you added something and that you contact them. You can do this with some kind of email archive or your platform notifications. I'll show you what that means here in a minute. I would say that you want to keep email available for marketing. So you don't want to burn up your email contact with notifications. When you send out an email, you should be pitching. And you want and if you want to have your notifications that, hey, here's something new, use your notification channel for that. Now, sometimes it can be tricky to get people to sign up for the notification channel. But if you can, try to get people to sign up for the notification channel so that they know when you've added something. And incidentally, notifications are marketing to people who are your existing members. So, you know, if you can't get them to sign up for your notification channel, you're going to have to use your email, then use it. You know, if possible, try to get as many people as you can in the notification channel so you can continue to use your email for marketing. But again, notifying your existing members that they have new stuff is marketing. Basically, because you're basically telling them that there's value in what they have. So again, however you do it, if you can, do it separately. If you can't, still do it. Still notify people. And again, now one workaround is to ask people to re-opt in when they sign up. So in other words, yeah, you're going to get their email when they purchase, right? You're going to keep in contact with them that way, but you can also ask them to opt in when they sign up to your member area so that you can contact them with notifications. Now, I would say that when you do that, you still want to make sure you only keep that for notifications. So if you tell them, if you tell people this is with notifications, I'm not going to be marketing with this, then hold to that. So don't do this and, you know, get, you know, have people on two email lists where you're going to be blasting them, right? You know, I've seen that. It's not cool for people to do that, but, you know, some people do it. I'm going to say don't be that person. Be the person that, you know, if you get a separate sign up, when people sign up and you tell people, this is so I can keep you notified of what's in here, then hold to that. Again, you know, we're going to be talking about building an online community. That's another way to do it, right? That's principle 10, right? And you can actually do it that way also. And you'll see these things, as I said, depending on where you live in the world. You may not have Netflix available where you live, but if you do, you'll notice, you know, Netflix does send out emails to tell you what's in there. This is important. And sometimes you may not even read these things. Now, if you're not a Netflix subscriber, and I don't even know how I became one, I think I started looking at these once I started doing and really looking at these things a little closer. I'm not even sure how much I even use these things, but it's pretty necessary for you to be communicating on a regular basis, telling people, here's the new stuff you have. Right? You should be doing that. Okay, so one question that just came up, how do I determine the price to charge for my monthly membership? That's also a great question. I would say that the rule that I like to try to live by is you want to have it so that if you're charging, let's say, you know, let's say you charge $17, you want to make sure that the initial point at which they sign up, that they're going to get $170 worth of value. So when people walk in your membership, they should see $170 worth of value. And then after that, it should be obvious that their $17 is getting them something. So you want to work backwards. So in other words, try to figure out the value of what they're getting. Then what you want to do is you want to make sure, okay, if you want to charge $17, you want to make sure that, you know, hey, you know, when they walk in the door, it's worth $170, 10 times the value. So in other words, you know, sometimes maybe you want to offer a consulting call. Maybe you want to offer some way of giving them something that, you know, when they first sign up is going to be more than worth whatever their membership is. And so there's no way to tell. Now, here's what I'll say. If you're going to be, there are two ways to go with this, right? You can set up a nuisance membership. Now, those are not easy. Those are not hard to set up. And basically what you're saying to people is, and I, you know, it's a very cynical way, but I've heard people say this, and I know people that do it, and they do it with great success. And it's not the way I would suggest you do it, but people do this. Now, and again, I've kind of poisoned the well here before I even told you what it is. You can set up a nuisance where it's going to be, let's say, I don't know, $5, $8, $9, $10. So when people look at it and they say, you know, it's $8, I don't care, right? I don't care. You can set up a membership that way. You get a lot of people to continue to pay you monthly. And then, you know, you can just continue to give them what you promised them. You don't have to go overboard then, right? People look at it and they say, you know, it's $8. I don't care. Now, if you decide that you want to give people some value, right? And you're going to do it on a monthly basis, what you have to try to do is make sure that number one, you're giving the value you promised. Number two, you surprise them every month. And so I'd say that, you know, anything between, I'd say, you know, $20 to $49 a month, you have to surprise people and you have to give them value every month and you have to work at it. Right? If you just want to set it up, set and forget it, less than $10. Right? But if you want to be involved with people, then I'm going to, at some level, right? I'm not saying you have to, you know, you have to be their pen pal, but you know, anything between $20 and $49, that's where you're going to provide some value and be there for people. Then, you know, you've just got to make sure you're giving 10 times the value when they sign up And then the value should be visible on an ongoing basis. And then you have to surprise them. Right? Does that give you some, does give you some guardrails there, David? That give you some general principles? That's how to look at it. Okay. Okay, so within Teachable, what you can do is you can send a message to people per course. So in other words, whatever the course is, you can sign up, you can send them a message for a way to send it out to them. Oh, thank you, Roger. Appreciate that. Okay, let's talk about the structure of your continuity offer. Here's a way that you can kind of use and then tweak this way for your individual market. You should pitch the offer when you're doing the weekly workshop, right? And whatever your continuity is, you do it and you pitch it along with your core snowball offer. So in other words, whatever your single price offer is, you should be pitching your continuity offer right along with that. And so basically what you're doing is the pitch is easy. You're telling people, here's what I have available for you today. You can get this today, or you can also get it as part of my continuity offer, right? That's what you can do. So you're going to pitch this, your continuity offer, right alongside of your regular offer. And now you're going to be doing this as part of your weekly training. Now, I'm not saying that you should do this all the time, because in general, the rule is, and I guess all the other great copywriters will tell you, that the confused mind does not buy. You don't want to give people two choices, because they will ponder over the two choices too long and eventually they'll cool off and then they won't buy anything. So I'm not saying that you do that all the time. I'm saying that when you do your weekly workshop, you want to tell people, give them a pitch, and then you say, hey, you know what, you can also get this if you're part of our weekly, you know, if you're part of our monthly program, and you can get it that way, right? That's when you do that. So the question is, are you doing a weekly workshop in a webinar? Yes. You can do it as a part of a webinar, or you can also do it as a YouTube Live or a Facebook Live. Just as long as you do it every week. So whatever you can do to get people there and show up, because it's free, right? Now, sometimes people are leery about signing up for stuff because they're used to social media. But I would say, you know, if you can use a webinar system, right? And the webinar system is a good thing to use when you do that. Now, your continuity offer should show up as a funnel offer. So people buy your front-end offer, they should see your continuity offer in your funnel. And this should also be a pitch for your monthly subscriber offer. So that's what I'm talking about with this. Now, how are you going to pitch the yearly or the one-time pricing? If you're going to use that yearly or one-time pricing, this is going to fall. We're starting to talk about getting up above $300 or $400. So the rule is, anytime something's above $300 and you're going to pitch something and it's going to be yours, you're probably going to want to use some kind of workshop or webinar in order to pitch it. And so you're going to use a direct response webinar. And that's the one where you're not training, you're selling. So you're going to go through the, you know, who I am and, you know, how I came to this problem and how I've been, I mean, the whole thing. And don't worry about the fact that you're using a format that, you know, seemingly everybody else who knows what it is. People who come to that webinar, they know you're going to pitch them. So don't worry about that format. Or you can do a sales workshop. And I suggest you do those anyway. So even if you're going to do a sales webinar, right, you do, let's say every once a week, you know, you should be doing a sales webinar to pitch your higher ticket offer. And you can do that, you know, let's say every Wednesday is going to be that day. And you're going to drive people to your Wednesday thing every Wednesday. But your workshop is going to be where you teach and you're going to make an offer. And you should also have, you know, something available for those people too. Again, when you do a pitch webinar, you're selling. You're not teaching, right? So this is when I think Russell Brunson says he doesn't want hard teaching done. What he is talking about when he says that is he's talking about when you bring people on a webinar, right? Because the point is to teach, is to sell. And you want affiliates to get people to that workshop. So in other words, you want to set it up so that your affiliates send people to that link, they watch the webinar, they buy your high ticket offer. And so this takes time. And so if you need to go and pay somebody to teach you how to do that, you need to let somebody teach you how to do that through a sales webinar. And there are people that teach that process, but it is a process you have to learn how to do. Right, yeah, David says he's heard it described as the what. Yeah, exactly. Right, and you know, most experts suggest that you do this for an entire year. Right, you do a pitch web, you do it live. So in other words, you do your live for a year, because that's when you learn how to get it to convert. And then once you know what converts, you then take what your best pitch, and you set it up, automate it, and you start to send people to that. Before that, have people come to your live pitch webinar, right? But this is when you're only going to be doing that to sell your higher ticket offer. Yeah, Roger says that one of the best at it is Jason Flatt, and I think he teaches people how to do that. So, you know, again, you want to have people come to your high ticket thing, but again, when you're doing your weekly, right, your weekly workshop where you're teaching, all you're doing then is building credibility, and you're still going to pitch it, but you want to pitch your monthly at that. Okay, any questions?